You mentioned the fact that you have to that the songs are then done in 18 different languages. are you there to have to rewrite any of the lyrics to fit the sort of musical?
Yeah, I think it's 19.
Oh, okay.
Megan actually did a lot of the musical direction on those sessions, right, Meg?
Yeah, I did a considerable amount, but I really, because Barbie has had these other movies before, although they did not involve songs, I had a lot of help with a producer over there named Rob Dunbar and Jessica Durchin, who's the producer here in Los Angeles, because Barbie is usually in many languages. For this, they did a lot more languages, I believe. But yeah, I would go on to the FTP site, thank God for computers, and I would listen to hundreds of singers each morning while I could still call Robin in England and let him know. There's a very funny situation where we were doing the Portuguese singers one day and nobody showed up for the session because they had a big football match. And so that was pretty fun. I mean, I'm calling and calling, and Rob goes, well, you know, they're not going to be there. It's a big football match. So there are things like that, or people vacationing in August, which is very traditional in Europe, and so they can't do the movie. Now, in America, you know, you would change your vacation and leave, you know, that night after a session. Here in L.A., it's really difficult to take a vacation, and so if you're working all the time. So that was interesting to me, and also embarrassing that all these languages, I would be like, I need an interpreter there, and they'd be like, no, everybody speaks English, Megan.
And on the lyrical side, they took care of all the translations.
Right.
Matilda.
Translations were carefully... It was interesting hearing, you know, your stuff in all the languages. And, of course, the Italian language was just glorious. It was just beautiful because of all the,
we got a little
all the vowels and things. And their casting was superb. I mean, they was just, it blew us away.
Well, now, as writers and composers, you deal with many different styles of music. What do you do to prepare for those particular styles?
I love doing that. I love all kinds of music, all kinds of world music. That is the exciting part for me.
Well, the fun thing is immersing yourself in a certain style.
It's awesome.
Of music as preparation for being able to write convincingly in that style.
What I do is I like take a jog to the record store or go see musicians who are in town or fly to see musicians. And I just sort of, first I listen to it and see what I love, and then I also break it apart, almost like doing math, like, oh, that section's this much, and oh, that instrument is that, or, you know, and I just sort of break it apart in terms of, you know, harmony, rhythm, texture, all the different elements of music. And then I, you know, figure out how that song or symphony or film score, if it's a temp score or something, was created. And then I sort of throw all that out and figure out what project we're working on and figure out what those elements were because, you know, maybe it's a song that's set in Mexico and it needs, you know, a mariachi approach or something like that. So that's the part I love doing that. It's really fun. Then Amy and I figure out the voice of the song.
Right, because lots of times, you know, the different kinds of music that you need to provide are really, at least lyrically, they're like different, you would say, they're different dialects of the same language, English.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way that certain characters are going to speak has to sound completely different from others. And
right, like How Can I Refuse? He's very cultured. And in that, we knew it was going to take place in a coal mine. Or a gold mine. And so I thought of the clanking of the shovels and the picks. And we knew that Preminger, wouldn't you say, was going to be, you know, he's a nasty character, but
right,
he's upper class.
Oh, he's trying.
Right, he's trying.
So he's going to have a very different vocabulary than a princess or a guard.
Right. And musically, that music is very pompous and pretentious in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Martin Short is pompous.
No, not at all.
As a matter of fact, he was delightful to work with.
Right. And he's sort of, Preminger's also a bit of a clown, so at the end there, we use what we call a cakewalk, or we slow the music down and bring it back up again tempo-wise. It gets from slow to fast, mm-hmm. as sort of he's got those other characters on his side. You know, it's sort of like a sing-along at the end of an evil, you know, it's evilness and fun.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome to go in that direction as well.
So do you find that when your songs are recorded by, let's say, somebody like Martin Short, do they bring something that you didn't expect to the recording session, that your song suddenly becomes something different because of them?
Absolutely.
Well, sometimes I find that the right artist realizes exactly what I had in my head when I was doing this in the writing process, and sometimes I'm completely shocked at how different and interesting the interpretation is. You know, with Martin Short, he was exactly the villain that I hoped he would be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, it wasn't a surprise, just a delight.
Right, and I'm also surprised. I mean, Amy and I have worked with a lot of amazing, lucky enough to work with a lot of really amazing singer, actors, all different people, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just amazing that you know, you're working with somebody like Andrea Martin or Cheech Marin, and they're like, what do you want here? What do you want? I can do it this way. Like, they're so collaborative and wonderful in the studio that I always find, like, you might expect somebody to be like a diva or just do it one way,
mm-hmm.
and they're asking you so many questions sometimes, like, do you want it like this? Do you want it like that? And that's just, you know, they're so collaborative at times, and I just find that to be a delight.
But I think we all have ideas of what our songs are going to sound like.
Right.
Or what we hope they will sound like.
Mm-hmm.
And the rhythms of what we want.
Yes. But I have to say that I had this experience that Barbra Streisand recorded a couple of my songs, and I could never have imagined those songs to sound as beautiful as she
those are gorgeous.
Made them. You know, so that was a really interesting experience for me to see how far an artist could take something,
right?
You know, that to me was just a simple couple of words on a page.
So do you base the music on your own vocal range?
Well, I couldn't do that because I have no vocal range.
I see.
I have the vocal range of a man, maybe an old man. I think that would be very bad. No, we imagine and do a lot of falsetto.
I actually worked as a singer before. I've worked on a lot of different things, including Nightmare Before Christmas. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't go in that direction as a singer at all. I studied singing, and I'm glad I did because I know when I hit a song that's melodic or needs to go somewhere, I
or too high.
Yeah, right. So I tend to sing and have a pretty wide range, which sometimes can get me in trouble because when you have a couple octave range, you can sing it.
And other
you bring a singer in and they're like, I only have half that range, lady.
You could hire Celine Dion to sing yourself.
It's always so much better when you get somebody in there who just nails it. I mean, I'm just thrilled every time. We're in my studio working by computer or fax or phone or something, and we have one idea, and then all of a sudden you hand it over, and when you hand it over to somebody who's really well cast, who's really brings something to it, I find that, Amy, to be so thrilling. It's just like when you've worked on an animated musical and you suddenly see it with picture.
Right.
You know, there's something like your heart just
that was very, yes, very magical the first time we saw these characters animated.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great, truly, truly exciting time.
So how in advance do you actually get to see the final product before actually everybody
else?
It
can be a very long process, animation.
But also sometimes you see partial results.
Mm-hmm.
For,
right.
We saw maybe 3 months before the movie was done.
Right, because these things are done, they're pencil drawings first, and then they animate.
Right, so sometimes you'll see a scene, and some of it is animated, and then you'll see black and white pencil drawings of a few beats of the action that haven't been animated yet. They know what they're going to do. There are little arrows that show, oh, somebody's going to be doing a pirouette, you know, but they don't have the actual character doing the pirouette.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. They might have a stick figure or something like that.
Right, so they assemble it part by part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, now, for example, in a song like Free, you've got the same person essentially singing two parts. What do you do for the two parts to differentiate them?
Okay, so for free, I'm glad you think it's the same singer. It's actually two different singers.
Oh.
But that's...
But they're both supposed to be Barbie.
Yeah, they're both Barbie, and I know it sounds a little strange, but it's the concept of the movie, there were two girls born exactly at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That was sort of a thematic twin sort of thing that we were going for. So it's actually two girls there, but we're very happy that you thought it was one.
It fooled me. I thought they were
right.
two of the same person. And
yeah.
I'm thinking, well, very impressive.
No, one's the princess, one's the pauper.
Well, yes.
But vocally, they're two different people.
Same. Okay. But see, the woman who speaks is the same woman, but our singers are two different.
Oh.
Right.
But that's great that you thought that. That's pretty good.
The question is, how do you differentiate between the two characters, I guess, is essentially
in terms of their vocal styles or their
essentially
concept.
Yeah.
That we're giving them.
Sort of the approach that you would take, let's say, with the princess as opposed to the pauper.
Oh, well, they are two very different characters.
Mm-hmm.
The pauper is a feisty, self-made, determined young woman who's had nothing go right for her.
And that's why in the beginning when she sings, you just hear a guitar. Uh-huh. And when you hear the princess sing, you hear that harpsichord.
Yeah, the
because
prince-
she would live in a castle where there would be a harpsichord. And
okay.
You know, things like that you just.
Okay. So that the approach then is that the instruments that would sort of fit with that particular let's say that while the princess would be able to afford a harpsichord or something along those lines, have the music sort of fit in that kind of.
Absolutely. You think in terms of those sorts of colors, and then when they sing together, that's more of a unity sound. That's where you bring the strings in. You bring more of the brass in when the two of them sing together.
But in terms of the characters, you know, the princess, she has an easy life, and she knows she does, and yet within that, she has her emotional struggle because she's being forced to do something that she wishes she weren't for her heart, which is to marry, you know, somebody that she doesn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Their issues are different, and the way that they're going to express them also becomes very different language-wise.
And you want to also make sure that the colors of the characters you hit instrumentally so you don't have a score that sounds exactly the same for every character that sings. So that's a real conscious effort that you do when you're writing.